All right, so this is 32 ways to keep your block from sucking. This is just my opinion. Everything in here is just stuff that's worked for me. This is not the 32 commandments of blogging. It's just some suggestions. And I actually break a lot of these rules myself. And I'll tell you which ones that I break. And this is mostly about technical blogging, about managing... Oh, thanks. Managing your personal brand online, being, you know, trying to make it so that when someone goes and looks for your CV online, that they... that you're managing who you are, and I'll talk a little bit about that. So, here we go. We don't go this way. Does this work? It does not work. I'll go this way. The most important thing is stay relevant. Knowing your audience, it's amazing how many people will actually blog without really understanding who they are blogging for. Why are they blogging? For a particular reason? Have they decided to be a Belgian blogger or a European blogger or a Northern Hemisphere blogger, or are they blogging for the world? Think about who your audience is. Hi, technical guy. How are you? What's going on? Is this important? Yeah? Oh, this is important. Yeah? Is this important? No? This is important? Okay. Hey! Know your audience. I like to use tools to find out really who I'm talking to. Make a decision. Don't just blog blindly and hope that things will work out. Okay, find out who your people are. You can use tools. You can use things like FeedBurner and analytics. I've got a little guest map there. You can see I've got little tiny people who can say hello and click a pin on a map to say where they're coming from. I had no idea that my readership was so worldwide, and once I discovered that, I declared kind of in my head that I would become a technical English-speaking worldwide blogger. Other people might say, well, you know, I live in Morocco and I want to do only in French and Arabic, and that's my focus, and that's important because you need to make that decision. Once you've decided that you know your audience, you can move on to the next thing. Now, this is something that I break a lot. I try to think. You should keep personal information out of your blog. I don't want to know about your cat. I don't want to know about your dietary habits and how your lunch is. Keep overtly personal information out of your blog. One, because it's a little creepy. And two, because it can be a little dangerous. You don't want to give away too much information. When you're tweeting or blogging, you should be aware. Are you giving away your geographic location? Are you making it so someone can stalk you? And even though the internet and Facebook and Twitter are all about stalking people, you need to be able to do it with their permission. So make sure that you keep overtly personal information on your blog. And then, of course, I blog about my son anyway, and then I give myself like an Xbox achievement for doing it. Don't apologize for not blogging enough. Nothing is sadder than going to a blog and finding that the last post is an apology for not posting enough. All right, I know I haven't been posting lately. I'm really busy. You know, my cat has been having some digestive problems, but now I'm focused. I'm ready. From now on, I'll be blogging twice a week. You know, May 2008. And that's the most recent thing that person has ever done. Say nothing, but never say that you're sorry. Steer clear of politics. You're gonna piss off at least half the people, maybe three quarters, depending on who you're thinking about. The one time that I blogged about politics, it was during the whole Bush-Gore thing in 2000. And I swear I cut my traffic in half. I don't know which side I made angry, but they're not coming back to my blog. Unless you are blogging about politics, don't blog about politics. Don't blog bile. You guys know what bile is? Bile is the stomach acid that makes all the food get digested. Bile is evil and meanness. Bile is cruelty. One time a guy was coming to interview with me, and of course I went out and I wanted to, you know, Google him with Bing and find out about this particular person. So I go and I search for this guy, and let's say his name is like Fred Johnson. And I search for Fred Johnson and I find a post about his previous boss. And the post is like, such, you know, so-and-so of a guy is an asshole. And this is like a big post, and it's full of pictures of middle fingers and mean, and he just basically was a three-page post about how he didn't like his previous boss. Then, of course, before the interview, that post disappeared. But the internet has a memory, and it's in the cache. And if you put something out there, you can't ever, ever make it go away. Don't blog bile. If you can't say something nice, say nothing. The internet is a great place, but it's not a place to be mean. I truly believe this. I've been blogging since April of 2002, and I've been on the internet since the mid-80s. And you'll find me doing a lot of stupid stuff on the internet, but you'll never find me being cruel. So keep your mean opinions to yourself, and it will add up. It's good karma. This particular guy didn't get an interview because he blogged bile. Think before you blog. You'll get nailed if you don't think before blogging. Every single blog post that I've felt bad about or I've regretted is the one that I posted at 3 a.m. without thinking, and then the next day it's like a 50 comments about what a jerk I am. So if you're not 100% sure, if you haven't done your research, if you haven't tested that code, think before you blog. But at the same time, don't post throwaways. I kind of keep a measurement in my head. I don't actually measure paragraphs or measure words. I feel like if I can't blog about that much, then I won't. Like if I can't blog a little picture and have the text come down and wrap slightly around it, then that's too short. Blogging is not a place for you to say, check this out, link. That's not a blog post, that's a tweet, and that's why we have Twitter. Don't blog throwaways. Provide value. Put good information out there and people will visit your blog. And avoid excessive quoting. There are some people who have blogs where it's like, hey, I saw this really interesting blog post by Scott Hanselman. Copy-paste, right, my entire post. Isn't that really interesting? I like what he did here. Right? That's excessive quoting. That is what we call reblogging. Okay? And that's stealing. I think that if your blog post is more than 40% quoted from some other blog posts, you're maybe not adding value. You want to make sure that you're more than half of what you're doing is you and not copied from someone else. There are some bloggers out there and there are some websites that dedicate themselves to just reblogging other people's content. People don't like that. So here's some things to do when you build your blog. Think about what you're writing. Make sure that it's correct in that language. Make sure you use spell check or grammar check. Because if you spell things wrong or you say phrases that are incorrect, people are going to just flip the bit on you and say, oh, he's kind of a bozo. Like in English, if you say Y-O-U-R and you've mixed it up with Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, your versus your, that's the same kind of thing. Be correct. Pay attention to formatting. These are subconscious things. I was actually finding out that people didn't like aspects of my blog because I wasn't checking spelling. And they said, well, I love your content, but then I have a speed bump, a mental speed bump as I trip over your bad spelling. Pay attention to formatting. If you go to a blog that has a beautiful layout, except one blog post is in Times New Roman purple, and the next one is in black 14-point Verdana, it starts to kind of seep into the consciousness and you think, this is not a very professional blog. I usually keep my formatting just to the semantics. I use H1, H2, H3, P for paragraph, and then maybe pre for code. And then I let my CSS do everything else. Pay attention to formatting. One time I had a situation where when I updated my blog, all of my text butted right up against the images. So I put in a little CSS rule to give me 5 pixels off to the side. It was small, but you would notice it if it were in a newspaper. You would say, wow, why is that headline shoved up against the side there? You wouldn't know what was wrong, but it would suddenly look like it was a newspaper from university and not a real professional newspaper. Put a little bit of effort into formatting. And turn on comments. I'm continually surprised how many people have blogs, but they don't bother turning on comments. It's not a blog if it's got nowhere to comment. At that point, it's just a brochure that you're publishing. If the reason that you are not turning on comments is that you have problems with spam, there are tools for that. There's a tool called Akismet, A-K-I-S-M-E-T, Akismet. And it's basically a spam service where you can use a web service to send the comment off to Akismet. They will rank it for whether or not it is spam or not, and then they'll return it back. And then you can decide. It's built into DOS Blog. It's built into Subtext. It's built into WordPress. If you have a blog maybe that you wrote yourself, like a small content management system, but you actually haven't bothered to write the comments part yet, which is very common. You'd be surprised how many people have had a blog for 10 years, but it's not really a blog. It just maybe pushes static HTML up on the net. There are solutions for that as well. I've got this podcast called Hansel Minutes that I've been doing for a while. I've done 207 shows. We built this kind of cheesy little content management system to provide the links. But people kept complaining. They wanted comments. Well, you could say, well, comments is just a couple of text boxes and a text area and a button. But if you think that, it's going to become filled with spam. You have to tend your garden and pull out the weeds. Comment spam becomes overwhelming. But what I ended up doing was getting this little plugin. This little guy here is called Intense Debate. I'm going to reload the page. Watch. See how it's empty? Boom. See how that showed up? That's a single line of JavaScript. You go to Intense Debate, you sign up for this account, and you take anything, any blog that you have, any site that you have, and they get comments. I just put one line there, and the whole thing appears. Look, they can log in with Facebook. It's got spam-free. It's got moderation. If you've created a website for friends or family, maybe you've done a website for someone who has a small business, and you did it in Front Page, and it's very lightweight. You can enable it for comments and turn their little site that you built for your relatives into a blog in one line of JavaScript. So I did this. This is called Intense Debate. And it's even got feeds for comments. And they can connect. They can log in as a number of different people. They can log in with WordPress or Twitter, OpenID. It's fantastic. There's no excuse for not having comments. Claim your feed. If there are services out there that they're interested in, like Technorati, go out there and claim it. Claiming your feed usually involves signing up for a service like Technorati. They give you a special number, like a GUID, and they say, put this on your website in like a HTML comment. That way they can then retrieve it and see that you've put that there, so you have control. You're basically declaring, I have control over this. If you create a blog or a podcast and you want to submit it to a service like Technorati, you usually have to prove that it is in fact yours, and that's how you do that. Once you've done it, then you can go in and you can see who's favorited your blog and how popular it is, and if you have multiple blogs, you can collect them all into one dashboard. This was a big problem for me. I had 11 different URLs that were all completely valid ways to get to the same place. And here, Hanselman.com/blog without a slash is actually considered different than Hanselman.com/blog with a trailing slash as far as the search engines were concerned at the time. So they basically thought I had 11 different blogs. So I used a tool called ISAPI Rewrite, and I did what's called canonicalization. I basically picked one, and I made all the others redirect to that one. And suddenly my search engine traffic went up because the blogs realized that I was one place and I was doing a 301 permanent redirect to the one place. And the one I decided on, I think, was Hanselman.com/blog with a slash. Now, sometimes you'll have URLs that are simple URLs that you might want to share to people. This is before, I wrote this actually before tiny URLs. And I had a couple of popular posts. Everyone has that popular post where you're blogging for a while and you feel like no one's listening, and then you blog about something, and that becomes the post that you're known for. You never know what it's going to be. Like, you might be a real hardcore .NET programmer, and then one day you blog about iTunes and fixing something, and that becomes the post that you're known for. Anyone who's blogged for more than a couple of years knows what their post is. That's their popular post. For me, it was the tools list, Hanselman.com/tools. But it's not really at Hanselman.com/tools. It has like a ridiculously long URL. But I knew immediately I wanted to put it on my business card and share it with people. So I just made a folder and I put in a default.asp that did a redirect to the correct one. If you go to Hanselman.com/suckless, you will hear about this talk. Now, since this, I've actually gone and signed up for a thing called Bitly. Bitly Pro. There's Bitly, which does URL shortening. But then there's Bitly Pro, which is in beta right now. And what they are is custom tiny URLs for your personal brand. So I'm Hanselman.com. So I went and I bought this. So now when you see me tweet after I set it up, you're going to see URLs like that. So now my personal brand is going to be embedded in the URLs that I share. Try to use simple URLs. It might be as easy as doing a redirect like I did, hanselman.com/tools/suckless/resume/whatever. But be aware of it. Makes it easier to share stuff. Now, in the U.S., we have garage sales. Garage sales are when you're an American and you have so much crap that it actually spills out of your garage into the street, and then you try to sell it to people. But here you can have a flea market. And what I mean is I want you to have a code flea market, which means that if there's a bunch of stuff that you have on your hard drive, a bunch of utility functions and libraries, but things you've never really felt were open sourceable, maybe they're not interesting, that's potential topics for your blog. Have a Rumblemarkt. Have a flea market, have a garage sale, and start blogging about those little bits of information. It's not doing any good sitting on your hard drive. Your junk can be someone else's fun library. License your blog. If you don't say what your blog is licensed under, then it's assumed that it's just like free stuff. You can go to creativecommons.org. You can do it on a worldwide basis or a country basis, and you can decide how you want to share your information. Don't worry about reading the bottom part there. That's just an example. But the idea is that you can go there and fill out a questionnaire, and you can say, well, I want to allow people to use my content, so I say share and share alike, and I want them to remix it, but I don't want them to do it for money. So you could say I want it to be attributable to me, like you can use my stuff totally free as long as you don't sell it and you tell people that I did it. You can fill the questionnaire out, decide how you want to license your content, and then they'll give you a logo that you can put on your site, and then you can add it to your RSS feeds. Creative Commons is a really great way to understand if you can use clip art or not. Like all the clip art in here came off of places like Flickr, where you go on, you hit advanced search, and you say, only show me Creative Commons licensed content. That way you know that you're using stuff that people want you to use. You should do the same with your blog. Make it really, really easy to subscribe. That little button there lights up because of a specific tag in the HTML. Now, I've been doing this talk on blogging for almost 5 years. And my bank, it's called First Technology Credit Union, which is Microsoft's credit union. This is like a First Technology Credit Union. For the last 5 years, hasn't added that single line of HTML, that one meta tag. But still, they insist on putting this tiny logo down here that's where their feed is. That thing that lights that up, that little meta tag, is preventing auto-discovery of their feed. We can't go and send a search engine to their site and have it go and say, oh, look, and it's a blog too, and we have RSS. Auto-discovery. You can go into Google Reader and say subscribe. Type in hanselman.com, and you will get a subscription. Because I've got a single line of HTML, a meta tag there at the top. And you can just do a view source and see it. Know how those things light up. Make it really easy to subscribe. I also use a tool called FeedBlitz. And FeedBlitz lets you subscribe to my blog using email. So if you don't want to get my content via a feed reader, you'd prefer to be emailed like a newsletter, you can sign up as well. Make it easy. Make it easier to read. If you visit my blog on an iPhone or a BlackBerry or a Windows phone, I'm going to pick a different skin and I'm going to show you the same content in an attractive way. Tools like WordPress make this even easier now because WordPress includes this mobile skin that makes it look really cool on an iPhone, and I'm sure that they'll do the same thing for Windows 7. Phone 7 series phone. Have your contact information somewhere. Make it so I can at least contact you. I don't want to stalk you, but I do want to ask you a question. You don't have to publish your email address, but for goodness sake, have a contact form so I can talk to you. Isn't it awful when you find the exact thing that you need on a blog, except for one little detail? You go to the content form, you fill out the whole thing, and you hit submit, and then you get an error? I mean, we've all had that experience. If you're going to blog, dedicate to not just blogging, but being a member of the community and make yourself available, at least via an anonymous remailer. via some kind of a tool, I'm over here and I've said, find me on email, find me on Facebook, find me on Delicious. And the email form that I use, I've actually picked a couple different, is called Contactor. Contactor with a K. And this is just, again, a single line of JavaScript that I've added to that page to make this available. And then this will automatically remail that to me without exposing my email address. Have an About Me page. Not only do I want to be able to contact you, but I'd like to know something about who you are. Even if you choose to not tell me your real name or you use a Simpsons character as your avatar, that's fine. But be consistent. If you're going to be Blue Sun 1975, just be that everywhere. If you don't want to let me know whether you're a man or woman, that's fine. But I would like to know whether you're an executive at a large bank or whether you work at, you know, Panos. I'd like to know a little bit about what you're doing so I can understand whose code it is I'm stealing and copy-pasting directly into production. Use a social bookmarking service. Delicious? How many people here use Delicious? Okay, so I'm assuming the ones that don't probably haven't heard of it. You see how I've included Delicious right here? It's delicious.com. If you go to delicious.com/shanselman, you can see the things that I am bookmarking. I keep my bookmarks in the cloud. I don't mean that I synchronize my Firefox bookmarks up into the cloud so that they might be the same on all my machines. I'm saying literally I store all bookmarks in the cloud, no matter what browser I'm using. And I don't do synchronization. I access them from here. So for example, here I've got .NET Framework 3.0 versioning and deployment Q&A. And I can see, well, 14 other people have bookmarked that too. So I can click on that and I can see here are the other people who have saved this and when they first saved it. I can see the tags that they've tagged them with, like deployment. I can then click on deployment. Here's the Scott Hanselman deployment links. Maybe I could see popular deployment links. So here are links that I haven't bookmarked but that are related to deployment. If you're going to bookmark and you're going to share information, share it in a social way. This allows you to discover people who have the same interests that you have and maybe find cool links that you wouldn't have ordinarily found. It's called delicious.com. Decide what's above the fold. I don't know what's going on out at the bottom here. This could be something really crucial. Think about consciously what your app, what your blog looks like at 1024 by 768 with like a buttload of toolbars, because you know everybody's got like 8 toolbars now. And what can they see? Is your RSS subscription there? Is the title there? Is the calendar there? Is your face there? Is your About Me page there? Consciously decide what's above the fold. Newspapers do it. You should do it too. Integrate search. You can use Bing. You can use Google. But for goodness sake, when I show up at your blog and I know that it's probably here, let me search. Both Google and Bing let you use a single line of JavaScript to enable search within your blog. You don't have to have a blog system that supports search. You just have to have been indexed once. Now, this is a Google product, but I love it. It's called FeedBurner, and it handles the RSS traffic for me. Almost half of the traffic to my blog is RSS, and I was paying gigabytes and gigabytes, hundreds of gigabytes a month from RSS traffic. FeedBurner takes care of it now. I can log into FeedBurner, and I can get all sorts of statistics about my blog. I can see how many subscribers I have, and they give me a nice button for it. And they also allow me to track individuals. You can track page views with your blog. That's old school. You can track how many people have viewed a page. But with FeedBurner, you can track item views. They put a tiny 1 pixel by 1 pixel transparent GIF inside each of your posts that then gets retrieved by your reader. And by the retrieving, it tracks the person. It just says, oh, somebody read it. So I can look at my RSS traffic and see that the traffic hasn't changed, but suddenly one of the items become very popular. People are forwarding it around via email. People are sharing. I can see that I've got readers who aren't regular readers. I can track that. I can find out whether a particular item was popular on RSS as opposed to just tracking traffic on the blog itself. Very important statistics that you won't be able to get any other way. Make sure that you tune your bandwidth. You know the favorite icon? That's the little thing here. Wah! That's the tiny little face there. favorite icon, favico.ico, favorite icon. It's a thing that appears there, and then also when you drag your links onto the desktop, it shows up there. You make these icons and you upload them to your blog. I made mine with a Windows icon maker, which helpfully made a 16 by 16, 32 by 32, 64 by 64, and 128 by 128 version of the icon and put it all in the same file. The resulting icon file was 70K, which I did not think about. Then I got a call from my ISP that 5 gigabytes of bandwidth had been used on my blog by a single file. That. It only needs to be 16 by 16. So I used a proper favorite icon maker and suddenly saved myself 5 gigabytes a month of bandwidth. Brought it down to 2K instead of 70. But if you're not thinking about those kind of things, if you're not tuning your bandwidth, how many people have heard of a thing called PNG out? Okay? The few that raise their hands are of the smart folks in the audience, because it is a truly amazing tool. And I've actually got an article about it on my blog, PNG out. PNG out lets you squish PNGs and make them smaller without losing quality. And I wrote a little script in PowerShell that will do that. And what I mean by this is that JPEGs are lossy, right? You can save a JPEG and say, make it low quality, and it'll get smaller. PNGs, people don't typically think about that. They just save them, and then they're there. But you can actually squish them and remove unneeded information and get them as much as 30 to 40% smaller without them changing in quality. It is a lossless format. So this little script here will spin through all of your PNGs and squish them. I also have a feature here where I'll add it into Explorer. If you're using PNGs for your Silverlight applications, or you're using PNGs for anything else in your life, for resources and Windows applications, squish them first. You'd be surprised how much smaller things can get. Things not to do. This blog has moved. I hate showing up on someone's blog and having them write a post, giving me a to-do. Hey, dude, I just showed up at your blog. Please update your bookmarks. Update them yourself. Screw you. I'm not going to update my bookmarks because you asked me to. HTTP supports this. It's called a 301 permanent redirect. Did you know that 301s will actually update bookmarks in your browser? If you have a bookmark that points to Computer Zen and you visit that bookmark, I will send a 301 and send you to Hanselman.com. Don't write a blog post about how you've moved. Just move. Just move. Your mail will be forwarded. Don't break links. Maintain permalinks at all costs. If there's anything at all I can tell you about blogging, is that if you serve a 404, nobody gets any benefit out of that. Don't break links. And pick a blog and stay there. You know, seriously, it's amazing how many people have 12 different blogs over the last 6 years. Pick one, own your own domain. Maybe you change software, but don't break your permalinks and stay in one place. I'm in the process right now of helping one of my employees, Jesse Liberty, move his blog over to WordPress, but we're going to do redirects for every single post. We're going to make sure it's 301s, and no one who reads his blog or subscribes will notice. Pick a blog and stay there. Don't cross-post. Don't put your blog content all over the place in different places. You think that you're spreading yourself out there, but you really want the eyeballs on your blog. Funnel them in. You're welcome to use any of the content on my blog, but if you use more than maybe couple of hundred words, I'd prefer that you go dot, 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 and then link them off to my blog. And there are services that will look for that. They'll watch for people reblogging your content. In that case also, this is again an opinion, but I don't like category-specific feeds. I don't like it when people make a feed, you know, just for my cat and just for PowerShell and just for ASP.NET. Just like on Twitter, when you blog, when you follow somebody, you're following the whole person. So I don't have any feeds on my blog that let you look at just one bit of content. There's enough filtering tools that will allow you to do that. And don't blog to get rich. It will not happen. I get 500,000 blog views a month, and I'm still only getting, a couple hundred bucks from Amazon. You know, every year I get like $30 a month from Amazon. You're not going to get big money if you blog. You should be blogging because you enjoy it. You should be blogging because you want to put the information out there, because you want to search the web for yourself later, right? You know how you might go searching out there for some technical problem, and then you discover that the only answer that's ever been blogged about is your blog? That's when you know you're screwed. You're like, oh, I think someone's blogged about this. That, oh, it was me. Oh, no. But at least it's out there. Put it out there. Blog interesting. Be as interesting as you can. Provide as much detail as you can. And this is the most important thing. People say, how do you find the time to blog, Scott? How do you find the time? John Udell said this to me many years ago, and it has stuck with me. He said, conserve your keystrokes. If you email me, chances are I'm not going to email you back directly. But I might write a blog post about it and send you the link. I'm 36, and there is a measurable, finite number of keystrokes that I can possibly do before I die. We could do the math right now. I'll say I live to 100, I type 100 words a minute, 90 of them are errors. I could do all the math, right? There are 8 hours in a day, I spend those 8 hours for the next 70 years typing, and I can count out the number of billions of keystrokes. Okay? Do I want to waste them on you, sir? Or do I want to write a blog post, put it out there, send you the link, and then it's out there? You know that guy at your job who always sends like 5, 6, 7 paragraph long emails to distribution lists, but there's only like 12 people on the list? And you're like, dude, put it somewhere. Put it somewhere. You spent all that time writing that. Put it out there. I'm not doing any more work than you guys are doing. I'm not, you know, how do I find the time? Because I make it public by default. There's a lot of cool stuff going on at your jobs that you can blog about. Now, some people say, well, I'm working on private, secret, you know, government banking stuff. I can't do that. I worked in banking for 7 years as a chief architect of a large banking company. I put all sorts of source code out there. But I changed all of the things, and I made it algorithmic. I didn't make it intellectual property. I focused on what were the things that I could share that didn't have anything to do with that bank. If we invent a new kind of quick sort, you talk to your boss, you talk to legal, you make sure it's okay. At Microsoft, we can blog, I think we can blog like up to 1,000 lines of code without talking to legal. Go to your boss, figure it out. Make a thing like that. Talk to your CEO of your company and say, can we make an agreement that we can blog up to 100 lines of code without talking to you? You know, blog smart, blog interesting, have a policy, and then by default, share it. And you'll be surprised at how quickly your blog will fill up. I started blogging in 2000 and here's all my archives. April 2002. Well, here we go, check it out. Hang on. Well, it's up. After screwing with FTP on and off for a week, I'm blogging. We'll see how long it lasts. 8 years. I'm still going. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, feel free to follow me on Twitter and let me know. See you guys later.